Based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Based on a True Scary. This is Trisha. I'm here with my co-host, Jake. How you doing, Jake? How's your quarantine going? This is a very special episode because it's the first episode since the world fell apart. So how are you?
Yes, and somehow we were ahead of the times because this would be our third podcast where we are not in the same room, which is going great for me. It's fantastic.
We've been practicing social distancing before it was cool and required. But it's a very special episode. We have a very special guest today. He's a comedy performer and actor from New York. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's we're okay.
Yeah. Staying alive.
Yeah.
Just drinking through the chaos.
As you guys know, I'm drinking a Corona right now because it feels appropriate. So
how on brand for you. I'm drinking a lovely cider and Gewürztraminer blend from Purity Wines.
Well, we can't really see you because it just seems to work out every time that your camera, quote unquote, doesn't work.
That's true.
And we're stuck with a... Well, I guess you're kind of losing the situation because you have to look at us and we don't have to look at you, so.
Well, the world is better not seeing my face, but you lovely gentlemen, you guys are doing fine. Greg, what are you drinking?
I am sipping on a little Jack Daniels on the rocks.
I didn't want to say, when you said you were drinking whiskey, I always just assumed that it's like some expensive whiskey, but I love Daniels. That's great.
Some, you know, some standard sour mash, you know, nothing too crazy.
Perfect.
Well, either way, booze will help stave off infection, right? That's what they say. That's why we're all drinking.
Absolutely.
Yep, mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. Well, as everyone listening knows, we are currently living in a horror movie, but we actually found a viral outbreak movie that is based on a true story, and that movie is Virus. So sorry to make you guys watch this movie, by the way, but
it's a step away from our normal movies. It's not a very horror movie-ish, but it had to happen.
Real quick, I'll just run through and then we can get into our thoughts. But
this
was from 2019. It was directed by Ashiq Abu. The screenplay was written by Muhsin Perari and Sharfu, single name, Sharfu. So I don't know. I guess he's like the Madonna of Indian screenwriters. Great. I gotta say, a lot of information is missing from this one because it is an international film from India, so couldn't get the budget or the gross, but I will say that it is the highest grossing Malayalam, which is the language that they speak in the film, the highest grossing Malayalam film of 2019 in the US. So... It got some views. No Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic score.
Really?
But yeah, I couldn't find any sort of rating for this. Although I believe like 90% of Google users that watched it liked it. But I feel like that's always what that says.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Google just controls that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That's not voting.
No.
They just get paid to say that.
Exactly.
But yeah, rated R. 2 hours and 32 minutes. Good Jesus. Thing we all have the time.
Oh my God.
Because
this one hurt.
It was lengthy.
Yeah.
This one hurt. And then the trailer and both the film, they say based on true events. I think the film says this film is a cinematic adaptation of true events. So yeah. And then I guess we're going to start like reading the synopsis or giving like a rough synopsis before the film because we get so sidetracked on our thoughts.
This movie is really done in like kind of four big chunks and we could kind of talk through it. But I just want to point out that this is why I don't do the beginning thing, like where you talk about the movie, because you nailed every single one of those names of actors or directors.
Oh,
you,
I do not know that.
You better than I would have. I can promise you that. So.
Well, I'm about to butcher some city names here.
Yep.
But so, yeah, the synopsis is ultimately a guy is brought into a hospital in Kozhikode, is how I'm going to say this, India, and then he dies even though he was young and otherwise healthy. Then more people start coming and showing the same symptoms. They... are very, very curious. So they do some testing. They confirm it's a deadly outbreak of a virus called Nipah. And then we basically follow a group of medical professionals, health officials, and townspeople as they come together to tackle the virus and quarantine everybody and save lives.
Wait, wasn't it like a family that came in, I thought? Or did I just misread all that?
Well, let's... Should
I shut up?
Greg, no, I have no idea.
The names were so confusing to me. And every time they showed somebody when they were talking about them, they were just laying in a hospital bed. So I was pretty confused about who was who the entire time.
Well, I sent it to Trisha. Usually in Wikipedia, you watch a movie. Like, you watch The Matrix, for example. And you go to Wikipedia and there's 10 names, not even 10, it's just like the top like 5, maybe 10 of the main actors. The Wikipedia had, what was it, 20, 25 names?
Oh, more, easily. Oh, more.
God.
This movie was an ensemble cast of about 100 people. Mm-hmm. It was in another language, and half of the time they were wearing face masks and medical gear. So,
true, yes.
You couldn't even see half their face. It was crazy.
Oh, it was confusing, but what I did enjoy was, like, I thought that the intro was really scary, how it starts with the guy answering the phone and they're like, the hospital has run out of ventilators.
Right. And it immediately like cuts to a bunch of garbage piled up. And I don't know, mm-hmm, if that is because of the epidemic or the pandemic or just it's India, but,
yeah,
shots fired.
That was another thing I was confused about, because they show that same scene later in the movie and two guys in hazmat suits just walk up and start throwing more trash into it. But they never really explain why there's so much trash.
Was this supposed to be deep? Was that like a deep meaning, like they're doing this to themselves, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There is no follow up. Yeah. I did enjoy the crazy medical montage when we had, so Dr. Abid, that was that guy's name, the guy from the beginning. He was really the only person that I was like, okay, I know what's happening.
Yes, I agree.
Here.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was the main character, because that opening montage is him going to work. And then, man, being an ER doctor, like, is madness.
Especially like as I was watching this, and I'm aware right now because of the coronavirus and blah, blah, blah. They're just walking around without masks, touching people and blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm like, I couldn't do it. Like, how do they not all get sick? You know,
I loved, right at the beginning when somebody gets pulled into the ER, the doctor is like, somebody get me some gloves. And then just nothing happens. Yeah, nobody gets some gloves.
That's it.
It just keeps touching these people with his bare hands.
Did anyone notice that all the doctors were just wearing button up plaid t-shirts, or not t-shirts, but like button up t-shirts?
Yeah. Oh, I did. They were looking good.
It's like they got, like, the production just got a deal on button ups and they're like, well, well, that's what they're wearing. That's fine.
You know, they're like professional but approachable.
I like
all
that.
All right. I'll give you that. Okay.
Yeah. I also,
it's good bedside manner.
I also noticed that later on in the movie, when a few of the doctors actually did wear, you know, like Dr. Scrubs, they just had a big name tag that said the word doctor in English. The movie's in a foreign language, but it just clearly says doctor. Right.
Well, we do have to talk that, like, for some random reason, they kept, like, everyone would just randomly talk, like, speak in English.
Yeah, it was like one line at a time.
Yeah.
Just randomly. Yeah.
It was so weird. And I
want to ask, like, somebody from India if that's just sort of common, like, if they just go back and forth that casually in everyday life.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was crazy. Very rare, but crazy.
There was one I absolutely remember, and it was when they were doing chest compressions. That's a word I know because I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy. So
look at you.
No big deal.
Jake MD.
He starts to count in English, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm like, wait, why are all, but no other time do they speak in English in numbers, so I don't know.
So that reminds me, did you guys know that something they teach paramedics once in a while, I guess, is if you're doing chest compressions, you're supposed to sing the song Stayin' Alive, because it's recorded at 100 beats per minute. and you're trying to keep the person alive, so it makes sense.
Right.
And that's like the exact tempo that you're supposed to do chest compressions at.
Do you know how I know that?
How?
From The Office.
Oh, okay. No way.
I'm going to text my friend who's an ER doctor, and I have to.
We've had him on the podcast before.
Yes. Well, he was in the background, but.
That's true.
I have to find out if that's true, because if that's true, that's amazing.
Yeah, I've heard that before too, for
crazy.
Sure. One thing that I will say about this movie that, aside from the plot, that was really, really interesting was, did you guys notice how this happened three times? When they were smoking on screen, there was a warning in Malayalam that was I clearly said, like, don't smoke. When the guy was driving his motorcycle without a helmet, there was a warning that said, like, don't, like, always wear helmets, I think. And then there was one where they were, like, drinking alcohol that said something probably about, like, making sure you're over a certain age.
Interesting.
They were like superimposed onto the screen.
I was wondering what those were, because, you know, it kind of felt like it was a pirated movie where every once in a while it, like, show up like you're watching a legal movie, blah blah blah. But yeah, okay.
Well, it was on Amazon Prime.
That's what confused me. That's what confused me.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was, and it was kind of blurry. Like, I thought maybe my computer had a virus or something.
Right. Right.
It was, yeah, that I didn't have any idea what that was.
That's some responsible teachings. Good job. Good job, India. As we drink, and actually I don't smoke, but, you know, it sure looks cool when people do.
Oh, just got word. It's true. It's true.
Be confirmed?
It's confirmed.
Oh, nice.
How dare you not trust Greg?
Fun fact, one of my friends, this will all be cut out, but fun fact, one of my friends came up with that and was a little celebrity at the conference when I was in residency with him. He was on the Today Show.
That's what he said. No, he knows. He knows the person.
That's Danon. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Oh, that's incredible.
Wow. Oh, my notes are so short. It is insane. Like, because it felt like a lot of, like, it was. All right, all the drama happened, everyone's in the ER, people are getting sick, and then all of a sudden it was like meeting after meeting after meeting.
Well, that's because they assembled this crazy task force,
right? Right, and then it was like, then they were getting everyone to get, it was serious. There was that one part where they're talking about how the government thinks it's a biological weapon, and the military should get involved, something like that. Did you catch that?
Yeah, and in those meetings, that was another bizarre use of the English language. There's one woman in every one of those meetings who only spoke in English, and everyone else in the meetings spoke in the other language. I was
really
baffled by that.
I don't think that. I
noticed that. Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I just love that, like, I love this official task force. The thing that's so upsetting is, like, the task force that's probably happening right now for Corona in the United States is, like, Donald Trump Jr. and, like, Jared Kushner.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking just a bunch of, oh, God, help us. Whew. Please help us. Not to get political, but, you know.
Help us.
Those people seemed like they were on their shit. And then there was that, was the girl who kept interviewing family members, she was like a student and a reporter or something, right? Like, she was like a doctor in training, and they kind of like started bringing her into the investigation, and she helped figure out where that index patient, you know, was able to meet up with those other people, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
sure.
Do you even
just
remember this?
Another thing I was very confused about. I wasn't sure who she was.
Is it because we just watched a movie with so many actors with names we're not used to, all in subtitles? Is it a bad movie, or do we just, like, is it just too much to handle?
I think it's lofty. I think that an ensemble cast that big, half of the time wearing medical equipment on their face, is intense.
Well, they got to that whole part where they start burning bodies, and then they're in that meeting about the fact that they have all these bodies that are diseased, and they can't burn them because it's against their religion. So they have a whole meeting about, like, should they bury them? And all I could think about the whole time was, like, what if they say, no, you can't bury them? What are you going to do? Just let people get affected?
I mean, there were people on the task force that were like, we have to let religion go here.
But yeah,
I think they ended up like letting it. Yep, yeah, they yep. were like, fuck it.
And they just kept talking about deep burials.
Yeah, deep burials.
Specifically deep burials. But yeah, that was really bizarre.
DB, a little bit of DB.
It makes me wonder if they added that in the movie, kind of just like as a, like a, guys, this is getting ridiculous. Or as of a, like, this is a serious thing. We have to consider this because of, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to go down a religion path. My mom apparently listens to this, so. Hi, Joy.
Is she from the Kozhikode district of India, though?
She is.
Might be in the clear.
She is, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, you'll have to ask her about the whole English thing.
Yeah, I'll hit her up, yeah.
Yeah, that was rough when they were taking issue with them burning the bodies, though. But it's like, guys, I don't know. And again, then they started saying that this is caused by bats, which that's something that we're currently dealing with.
Yeah, that the final scene just really creeped me out. I almost shut it off in the last 30 seconds because I hate bats.
The post-credit sequence?
Yeah. The guy goes and like picks up this dirty bat off the like a gravel road and... Yeah, I hate bats.
That's like basically how they figure out that's where the virus came from.
Right.
The whole time they're trying to track it. And it was, he had posted like an Instagram story about
that blurry picture.
Which was so funny because they were talking about it in the meeting. They're like, now upon looking at this picture, one would think that it was like a rodent. I'm like, no, that's clearly a bat. one would not think that it was a weird rodent.
No.
That's a bat.
Obviously a bat.
Well, there was that whole newscast where the one guy was saying that it was all fake. Basically, he was saying it was all fake news.
I mean, fake news was a thing back then. Yeah. This was 2018.
Yeah, 2 years ago, right? Can I do math right? Yep. Sounds about right. That's crazy. Wow.
No. Then they figured out it was the bat. Or also they thought potentially from the rabbits because the guy kept rabbits.
Yeah. I remember that part. I actually, that was one part I was paying attention to, and also I was like, it was a rabbit! And then it wasn't, so.
I want to say it lulled in the middle of the film, and then once we had that other patient, the guy that was, like, coughing in the middle of the street, and he came up and was trying to, like, get into hospital. Do you remember?
And nobody
would. Yeah, they hit him with a bat. And then he was sort of like this asshole patient who was being very uncooperative. Then I was starting to pay attention, because they're like, okay, this could be potentially a terrorist attack. Because this guy had no contact with the index patient. So you guys better figure out how they're connected or we're going to say that it's terrorism. So I was like, ooh, here's a plot. Here's a movie plot. I like this.
My favorite character in the whole movie was the guy who was just getting wasted with his buddies, like playing cards. And then he was coughing and puking and they told him he needs to go to the hospital. And he just got really pissed off and just started chugging everyone else's drink and then hopped on a motorcycle and drove to the hospital, just wasted.
That was the dude. Yeah.
Oh, that was the same guy? That guy was great.
Here's what I say. Here is one other thing that I noticed probably three quarters of the way through the movie. It was not sequential. So we were seeing things in like random order. They would have flashbacks. Oh, did you not? Oh my God.
What?
Yes. That made it even more difficult.
Okay, well, here's my question, though. Was the subtitles covering, like, 2 months ago, 1 month ago, blah, blah, blah? Because that happened a couple times where I saw, like, I could kind of see a little, like, lower thirds action going on. I couldn't really tell, like, I couldn't read what it said. But apparently they just were doing what they wanted, huh?
No, the filmmakers were so confident in the fact that we knew who these 100 people were that we saw on screen for 5 seconds that they were just, like, really throwing us for a loop. Oh,
even the subtitles were just weird. Like, there was one point I remember... one of the rare moments when somebody said something in English and she said, it happened last April. And then the subtitle just said like last week, April. And that was it. I don't know. They were just slightly off from what was actually being said.
Did you guys get official subtitles? Because I had to turn them on manually. Like the film didn't come with subtitles.
Oh, unfortunately,
I'm wondering if that.
I unfortunately have subtitles on all the time because the past couple months I've, I've been told that the TV's too loud, so I've just turned on the subtitles. So sorry. So I can't answer that.
How's the social distancing quarantine going with you and your lady friend, Jake?
Well, the fact that it's me, lady friend's child, and lady friend's sister, it's going great.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
It's all good. She came, she flew in, and we basically, the equivalent of holding a power washer to her and spraying her down before she walked in the house, but with Lysol.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Oh, man. Oh,
I will say one thing about the movie. So Dr. Abid, this was like one storyline that I was able to follow. He kissed that girl, mm-hmm. right, in the beginning of the film, and then she ended up getting Nipah, and he was worried that he gave it to her. So then he kept like visiting her in the hospital. Did you guys catch this at all?
No, absolutely
and,
not.
Okay, great.
No, me neither. I probably just figured they were new characters and I, nobody knows why they're there or what they're doing.
All right, fuck it.
No, that's fine.
I feel like at this point I'm just bragging because I figured out storylines.
Yeah. Which we don't, because I actually remember him saying I kissed her. And I thought yes. he was concerned about that he got it. So who knows?
No, so because he was one of the original doctors that treated the index patient, right? Then he kissed his friend. She ends up getting Nipah. And he's like, oh, my God, I gave it to her. He goes to visit her in the hospital and he takes off his mask, which I was like, oh, no, you've like Ooh. Exposed yourself. But then he didn't end up getting it. And she was one of the survivors. It was her. And I want to say her boyfriend were the two survivors because in the film, two people survived miraculously without a cure. Like, they just quarantined people and then it went away. But did you guys, like, there was no real explanation?
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to bring up at some point. It's just, like, they figure out that it was derived from these fruit bats. And then it's just the music gets all very happy and everyone's like, oh, we figured it out. But just because they found out the source of the virus doesn't mean that it's going to just stop spreading and no one has it anymore. Like, I didn't get that.
Or was it the Dems trying to get Donald Trump kicked out of the White House?
Oh, it's true.
Absolutely.
This was the test run in 2018.
That was good.
They
was
did
good.
It in India.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What times. What times we're living in. How's everyone doing? Greg, how are you?
Oh, I'm well. I'm well. This movie actually brought back some bad memories. When the weird guy, the guy that was partying, if you remember when he was laying in his hospital bed and he ripped off his mask and all of his IVs and then he kind of stumbled out of the hospital room and just died. I actually almost did that one time. About 10 years ago, I was in a 4-day coma and I had a breathing tube down my throat and like 7 IVs in my arms. And I woke up after 4 days and they were like, you have to stay here in the ICU at least another week. And I was like, no, let me out of here. This place sucks.
So in 4 days, you will leave quarantine is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
That happens a lot in Grey's Anatomy, just saying. Hey, Trisha, Grey's Anatomy is the new One Tree Hill, just so you know.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Greg, did you, like, rip your stuff off?
It was pretty weird. They told me if I could get out of bed and walk to the bathroom on my own, they would consider letting me leave the next day. But in order to get out of my hospital bed, which I hadn't left in 4.5 days, they had to pull the tube out of my dangus because I had a catheter jammed up there.
Catheters are no fun.
No, because when you're in a coma, you know, you can't pee. So they just ripped it out and it was like a rusty nail just.
Oh,
buddy.
did you make it to the bathroom?
I did. It was,
oh, thank God.
I wish someone would have filmed it because I was like stumbling and holding on to everything that I could. And it was pretty rough, but I made it and they discharged me the next day.
So we have to ask, why were you in a coma?
Oh, yeah, right. I guess that would should probably give some context to the story. I had a heat stroke. I was outside in the humidity too long, and my body temperature was over 105.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the electrolyte levels in my blood, the sodium and potassium were both at absolute zero. I sweated out all of the electrolytes in my body.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so I had a seizure and woke up from the seizure and don't remember anything. I guess they tried to put me on a stretcher and I started swinging at the doctors, telling them to let me out of there. And so they stabbed me in the chest with propofol, which is the same thing Michael Jackson overdosed on. And that put me into a medically induced coma. So that,
My God. How old were you?
I was 25. So it would have been 11 years ago.
Holy crap. Wow.
Yeah. And the worst part was, since I was unconscious and my lungs stopped working, they had to put the tube down my throat. And since that exposed my lungs to the outside air for 4 days straight, I got a really bad case of pneumonia once I woke up.
Oh,
so tack that onto the the list of things.
God.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I had a catheter once, if we're telling medical stories, which I know, I understand the pain because you just can't pee afterwards because it just is not good.
Yeah.
But mine's way less exciting. I was 16 and I drank Everclear at a New Year's party on accident, and my body shut down. And my friends were trying to carry my lifeless body back into the house where my parents and all of our parents were staying at the time. And they caught us, and I was unresponsive. And my friends didn't tell them we were drinking alcohol. So my parents thought I'd potentially OD'd on a drug, and they called an ambulance.
No.
And I had to spend the night in essentially the drunk tank, I guess is what it was. And so I woke up in a hospital bed to my parents, where I was just a 16-year-old at a woo fun New Year's party.
Wow.
And I had a catheter. It was bad.
Yeah,
times.
That went south real fast.
Yeah, it did.
I got no stories like that. So
Jake's a good boy.
You're a lucky boy.
I almost died when I was a baby, so that's all I got. So, I got it all out right away. Right away I was like, I almost died, big deal.
Yeah, now you're resilient.
Yeah, let's move on. I don't have to worry about any of these things.
Corona ain't fucking with you. I guess that's kind of, at the end, once it miraculously is cured, we see the head woman of the task force goes and hugs the two surviving patients, and then she holds that press conference.
Oh man!
They're all just like, "Yay!"
Did you see the slow clap right when she got done speaking?
Yes,
that was amazing.
You gotta love the slow clap.
So classic. The one guy stands up and just.
Do you think that that massive auditorium filled with all those people, were those all of the characters that we had seen the whole time? Because
Probably even the dead ones.
Yeah, they just used them as extras.
I think it was. I'm not kidding. And then at the end, they say, so they have the three things that basically are it could have been way worse, but they fixed it. And then now they have an Institute of Advanced Virology, and that the nurse who died serving the patients is honored by the World Health Organization. Oh, yeah. And the last one is that one of the survivors now wants to become a nurse.
Yeah, that's right. The 19-year-old survivor. Yep,
yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that was then we got the weird bonus scene of the kid touching the bat. that was virus. So
clever name. Like it.
It was
best part about the movie was the name. Straight to the point.
Exactly.
I gotta say it was rough. It was a rough watch. Outbreak was a lot more fun.
right. So this is my question for you, Trish.
Yes.
Is this going to be a lot of questions? Meaning there's just a lot to dig into, or is it kind of our last couple ones where it's just there's only so many facts about this?
It's the latter. Yeah. So not only did I not understand what was happening in the movie 98% of the time, but yeah, we're going to go broad. So yes, if you guys are ready, I can start asking you questions about the film. We'll start broad and then we'll go more detailed from there. And again, so Greg, Jake has not done any research, so he doesn't know the true story. So you guys can either team up and come up with, you know, the answers yourselves or go head to head in the most fierce competition ever.
Sweet. Let's do it.
All right. Okay, guys, question number one. Do you think that there was a virus that ravaged India in 2018?
I do.
That's simple. Come on, Trish.
It is false. No, I'm kidding. Bye-bye. No, so yes, true. I'll give you it. So I'll kind of tell you about it. In 2018, yes, deadly outbreak of Nipah virus. It was called Nipah virus. It spread to two towns in Kerala, India. On May 2nd, a 26-year-old patient named Muhammad Sabif, that was not his name in the movie, I don't think, was checked into a subdivisional hospital in Perambra, Italy, Jesus Christ, wow. India. Guys, I've had wine. And then they moved him to a government medical college in Kozhikode for treatment, where he died. And then later that day, his brother was checked into Baby Memorial Hospital, also in Kozhikode, who he had the exact same symptoms, and then he later died. So doctors originally suspected viral encephalitis, which they did in the film as well. But both of the patients were young, they were healthy, and they died quickly. So they sent samples to be tested, and they both came back for Nipah. And then through transportation of those patients, they infected a total of 18 individuals, including a nurse who treated Muhammad before the diagnosis. And then over 2,000 people who were in contact with any of the victims at any time were quarantined and kept under observation during the outbreak. And then through that quarantine, by June 10th, 2018, they were able to contain the virus and end the transmissions. So to this day, there is still no vaccine for the Nipah virus.
Holy shit. This movie made it seem like nationwide. Or am I wrong?
Well, in the film, they said that only 18 people were infected.
It seemed like they got a task force of 5,000 people.
Yeah, I was confused by that, too. They gave the facts at the end of the movie, but I feel like throughout the movie, I watched hundreds of people die.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe this is how it should go. Like, there's a bad virus and blah, 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 and they contain it, where we're currently living through people just ignoring it till it got to the point where we're stuck inside our house.
I mean, I think, this is actually my next question, but also, that they said that the Nipah virus had a 75% death rate, right? So, like, when you're dealing with something that intense,
right.
I think that, like, they're like, what the fuck? And they, like, knew about it before. It was, like, a known virus. So they, like, knew what they were dealing with. They knew it was a big deal, so they freaked out. But we did – you're right. I feel like we kept seeing more and more people get sick. But, again, I think we were just seeing a lot of the same people over and over again.
We were just confused.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, because they did say that 18 people were affected by this. So in the film at some point. I think it was during her speech at the end. So, yeah, I guess my next question is, do you think that Nipah does have a 75% death rate?
Sure.
Yeah, are we in agreement?
I guess I feel like usually movies tend to exaggerate slightly, so my guess would be that maybe it was slightly lower in reality, but I have no idea.
Well, I'm gonna give it to Greg on this one, because it's kind of true. So according to the World Health Organization, or WHO, which they're talking about in the news a lot, it has a 40 to 75% death rate. So 40 to 75. It could be 40, could be 75. That's 75 is the high range.
I feel like that's a wash technically, but whatever.
Yeah. And then just like they say in the movie, Nipah can be transmitted from animal to human or human to human. So that is how. If I've learned anything from the past few weeks, it's bats are no bueno.
Wait, so why was that kid just touching a bat?
Well, we saw he just picked it up and moved it to a tree.
Why?
I don't know. Apparently, yeah, the information of how dangerous they are was not readily disgusting. Available.
I mean, do you see like a baby raccoon on the road? Do you go pick it up and move it? No, you don't. No. You eat it, okay?
You lick it.
You lick it.
And then you cook it.
And then you inject its blood into your bloodstream. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. It's,
yeah.
You guys want to get high on the rack?
That was so bad. Anyways, but, next one.
Yes, I am absolutely down.
That is how you end up in the hospital, Rick. No more catheters.
Oh, I can feel it right now.
It is not pleasant. Okay, so just like in the film, there's this centralized task force that's assembled. Do you think that in real life they had this like task force that was dealing with all the problems?
Greg, you go first.
I'm gonna go with yes. I do think that happened, because if it was such, if it did have such a high death rate, and panic was so widespread, I feel like they did take drastic measures to bring on this full task force and investigate every possibility, such as some kind of terrorist, like an anthrax type thing, or I think they did. I think they did.
Bat anthrax.
I'm with Greg, but I think it wasn't as intense. I think like you gotta have a task force, but I don't know if it was like as dramatic in the movie, where like people are worrying about their like, are my kids gonna be taken care of? Like, I think there was a task force. You just tell me. Now I feel embarrassed.
No, yeah, I think you guys, you nailed it. So it's kind of true, but I don't think to the level that we saw in the film. So just to give credit to where credit is due here, it was a team of doctors at Baby Memorial Hospital. They were the ones who originally suspected that it could be Nipah and ordered for the tests. Thankfully, they did. Once they got the results, they worked directly with the Kerala Health Department and the Ministry of Health and Prevention to contain the outbreak.
Nice.
So yeah, I will say I forgot one part of the movie. I don't know if you guys remember this, because I think we were all very confused the whole time. But do you remember the scene where they're assembling like sort of townspeople to be part of the task force, and the guy's talking about how like people are donating masks, they're donating respirators, like
that's
everything's
the scene
going
I was
to be
talking
great.
About.
Yeah, right. And then the one guy's like, "Are you guys gonna pay me?"
Yeah.
Do you remember? And he was like, yeah, but you will get paid. And he goes, can I get that in writing? This guy knows what's up.
Oh, I have one quick side note. Yeah. On the last part. The hospital is called Baby Memorial.
Yes,
I didn't see one baby in that place the
That's
entire
good
time.
No.
So yeah. In real life, most of this went down at the Government Medical College. Baby Memorial Hospital was where the brother of the index patient was checked in originally, but then they moved him to Government Medical College, and that's where the infestation started to spread. So I don't know what the hospital was called in the movie, because I don't know anything about this movie, even though I watched it. Guys, it was hard. Reading is hard.
It was rough. It seemed like, two hours and 32 minutes is a long time, but it seemed significantly longer than that.
It did.
It was very long.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, you actually mentioned this in your answer to the last question, but do you guys think that they suspected terrorism and had to prove against the fact that it wasn't a terrorist attack in real life, like they did in the film?
Yeah, I feel like they like that's a common practice, probably. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it probably came up at some point, but I doubt they looked into it, too extensively.
Yeah. So, Greg, yeah, you guys nailed that. Like, I mean, maybe, but I couldn't find anything about them actively investigating terrorism ties or like having to prove that it wasn't. But that's, I'm sure they looked into it. I will say though, Nipah is classified as an agent of bioterrorism by the U.S. government.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah, that thing. So, you know, with that being said, maybe it's just routine that you have to suspect terrorism because that shit is deadly as hell.
That's fair.
Yeah. Crazy.
So let's talk about, I guess you guys don't really remember this part, but I do. There was a student that was potentially a student or reporter, the girl that kept interviewing all the family members and tracking the virus, who eventually figured out that the index patient got it from a bat and delivered it to the task force. Do you guys think that in real life there was like somebody outside the task force that brought information to them that helped with the case?
I'm going false.
Yeah, yeah, I think I'm going to go with, I feel like that was just an added plot point.
It's true.
Damn it.
Whoa.
I know. I was surprised. When I was like trying to figure out questions for this movie, that was one that I wrote down because I was like, this is probably false. But it was true. So anthropologist named Bersala George, who worked for the National Institute of Epidemiology, didn't know that was a thing, but I'm glad it is. She began interviewing friends and family members related to Muhammad and also other victims to get basically like a total ethnographic picture of everybody and where they were and how they were in contact with Muhammad and other patients. And then her research is actually what helped determine how Muhammad contracted the virus and also how he was affecting other patients and ultimately helped them quarantine and control the virus. And she wasn't like a part of the medical community or anything. So bitch was dope.
So she wasn't a journalist though.
No, she was an anthropologist. Ooh, but again, I don't know if that girl was a journalist in
right.
Nobody knows. Fair. She was just some kind of weird freelance private investigator or something.
I think maybe she even was. I thought she was like a student. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, do you guys think that there were two survivors of this, including a 19-year-old who wanted to be a nurse?
I'm going to go with yes, simply because they mentioned it like towards the end, right before the credits. But also, I have no idea.
Yeah, I would say it's like it's a semi-true one. Just to like, it's like there obviously was survivors, and maybe there was someone who wants to be a nurse, but I don't know.
Yeah, they may have exaggerated it for dramatic effect. There may have been a lot more survivors. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's true.
Damn it!
I know. So 18 total people were infected. 16 died, leaving two survivors. One was a 27-year-old man, and the other was a 19-year-old woman who did go on record after, because they were interviewed, saying that just her interaction with the healthcare providers made her want to be a nurse. Even though, like, if I'm being honest, and like I'm kind of a bad person, so take this for what it is. If I got a virus like this, I would never want to be a nurse. I would never want to step foot in a hospital again.
No, right, I'd be terrified.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like, yeah, that's a reason that a person should be honored, but
yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's true. This one's a little bit interesting. So Linny Puth, oh God.
these names, man.
Here we go. Puthuseri, I'm going to say. So she was a 28-year-old nurse. She died from treating Muhammad before they knew that he was really sick. She was hailed on social media by doctors for her sacrifice. And then also, just like in the movie, she wrote a note that was addressed to her husband and child, which they ended up widely circulating on social media. So she was also given an award from the Government Hospital Development Society named after her, called the Best Nurse in Public Service Award. And it's given in her honor every year. So she's a big
just
deal.
Every year they just give the same award to the same person?
No, it's like it's an award in her honor to best nurse.
I stopped paying attention. So
just, here's just a Nobel Peace Prize. You can just have one annually. It's fine.
Clearly, Jake has never gotten an award.
No.
Oh, excuse me. I got the virus.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
man.
Coughing. Wash your hands. Yeah,
damn it.
All right, guys. Last question. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. Can you hear that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to edit it all out, but go for it.
Great. Love it. Do you think that the virus started from a guy touching a fruit bat for an Instagram picture?
I want to say false, but it's so dumb that I feel like if they were going to make something else up that wasn't true, they would have done something cooler.
Right.
So I guess it probably is true.
Yes, I hate the human race also, so I'm going to say true.
So it's actually pretty false.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, nothing about him taking an Instagram picture. I like search. This was actually a search term. If you search Muhammad Sabith, one of the first things that comes up is Instagram, because I think people watched this movie and were like, holy fuck, there's no way this happened. And it didn't. I couldn't find anything about it.
Really?
Wow. So it was just really poor screenwriting.
It was just very poor screenwriting.
Or the screenwriters were like, people are idiots and they'll believe this. So
yep.
So we're the idiots now. Great.
Well. But they did get something right. It turns out that fruit bats are natural hosts of the Nipah virus. So that's just, they have it. The way that you can get it is from touching or ingesting their saliva or urine, which it seems difficult, but it has happened multiple times. Yes. So the outbreak in 2018 was said to be caused by Muhammad Sabith eating fruit that had been partially eaten by fruit bats.
Oh, yes.
Right. So also, just like in the movie, he did have pet rabbits. So they said it's also possible that he contracted it from, he would feed them banana leaves and the fruit bats could have urinated on the banana leaves. And when he was touching them to feed them to his rabbits, he could have gotten it that way. So
that actually makes sense.
Wait, so he wasn't drinking bat piss?
He was not injecting fruit bat piss into his veins. Right. He hadn't moved on from raccoon blood.
Just making a bat poo sandwich.
Interestingly enough, it didn't say that you could get it from the guano. It says urine or saliva. So I think the poop is somehow safe.
Oh, wow.
Who knows?
Well, good for you and your face masks.
Well, that's it, guys. Good job. I guess we can move on to our ratings of this film. So now that you know, 1 through 10 out of 10, how accurate do you guys think this is?
This is a rough one, right? Like, this is, I guess it's like, it's pretty close to a 10.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to go like 9.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say, yeah, based on the facts provided, I'd say around a 9. As far as an entertaining film, I'd give it like a 2, like two bags of popcorn.
Yeah. But, we go by vials of raccoon blood. So. Yeah.
Yes. Two vials of blood.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, I don't think it's a bad movie. I just think it's not for me.
Yeah. You're right. I'm sure if we spoke the language and everything, it'd probably be really interesting. Probably not 2.5 hours interesting, but maybe 2 hours interesting. But
well, I love foreign films. Like, I mean, guys, like, I don't want to like talk myself up, but like, I dabble in the foreign films. Like, I don't think that was the. I don't know. It just wasn't.
There
good.
Was too much information going on at once. That was issue.
Could have been simplified a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love that you guys didn't realize it was not told linearly.
No clue.
Yeah,
I mean, it took me forever. Well, Greg, is there anything that you want to promote? We may have more listeners for this one because nobody has anything better to do. While you have a mic in front of you, anything you want to promote for people to watch you in or that?
Oh man, I don't have any like specific ongoing projects right now, but I'm always shooting just weird comedy sketches and videos. And I guess, if anyone wants to follow me on like the Twitter, my handle is just my full name, Greg Burmeister. And I'm on the Instagram, at Greg Hello. I guess that's about it for now. I always have some like weird projects popping up, but yeah, nothing specific right now.
You're about to get a new follower right now.
Oh, look at
nice.
Jake.
Yes, it's my cat.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah. Do as Jake does. And also, you guys have to watch this old web series that Greg did called Beatboxing with Greg. It's like my favorite. I think it's on YouTube, right?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it is. We Actually, your guy's guest from a few weeks ago, Eric Schmidt, he produced that for me, and he got it on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which is the public access channel. So
amazing.
Yeah, so when people were just would, you know, be channel
Jake,
surfing.
I'm going to send it to you.
We should put it on our Facebook.
Yeah, actually, we will put it on our Facebook. We will link to it in our bio on Instagram so you guys can watch
it. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just 30 minutes of me. It's like a talk show format. I have a guest, but I just beatbox the entire time.
the second episode with Brian as the chef
that's the best one by far. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Greg.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, good entertainment as we're all stuck inside our homes for the foreseeable future. Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Wash your hands. Practice social distancing. Who knows? We're going to release this in like a couple days, so maybe the world will have ended by then. I don't even know.
Wow, that's uplifting.
And on that... All right. On that, we'll see you guys soon. Thanks for listening.
Later. Cue music.
Bye.